Here's the website, Texans for Stovall. That's STOVALL.com. Dwayne Stovall is a businessman. He's a good guy. He's a father of some really cool kids. He lives in, I always get this wrong, Dwayne. Are you in Liberty County in Cleveland, Texas, or are you in Cleveland County in Liberty, Texas?
Liberty County, Cleveland, Texas. You almost got it right.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing real well. How are you, Brother Church?
I am fantastic. It is it's so good to get the band back together. The band hasn't been together since, what, 2014?
Been a little while.
And now, refresh the audience's memory. You ran against John Cornyn. That was 2014, correct?
Yes, ran for U.S. Senate here in Texas for John Cornyn's position in 2014, pulled double digits in the primary on only $70,000 and never quit running. I'm running against him again now.
Now, when you see double digits in the primary, I thought you got something like 150,000 votes.
Yeah, it was a little over 140,000 votes. It was almost 11%.
Wow, that's fantastic. That was an incredible achievement. Of course, you didn't want 11%. You wanted 51%. So
correct. There was a lot of things going on there. There were like eight candidates, I'm a data guy, and the numbers always mean something, especially the deeper you get into politics, the more you understand numbers actually run it. And John Cornyn won the 2014 primary by about 130,000 to 160,000 votes. It was the lowest margin of victory in the history of that race. And over the course of almost two decades in office, he sets a new low for approval ratings every cycle. So he's somewhere in the upper teens in the electorate's approval of him. Which is so odd because, you know, the entire establishment wing of the Republican Party from the state to the federal, national, has all circled the wagons around him, and they're all out there touting his conservative bona fides, which is hilarious to me. But, you know, establishment's going to establish.
Well, the establishment is going to establish, and they're going to fight to keep their establishment. Of course, that's the way, that's the way C. Everett Dirksen put it best. That's the way the sausage is made. And Dwayne, they're making some pretty rotten sausage these days. I don't think there's an epoch in modern history where we couldn't say that they're not making a rotten sausage. But what has changed dynamically in Texas twixt 2014 and 2019 that has you continuing this campaign?
Well, it's those approval ratings and the availability of information, which is it gets exponentially quicker every year. And the things that they could do in office, like it takes people like you and I who are dumb enough to actually follow what they do. we would go seek it out 15, 20 years ago. And it wasn't that available to you. Right now, you can monitor what they do, and it gets around so much quicker. So when you have someone like John Cornyn, who, when he rarely speaks to the public, which is very rare, but he might do a little opportunity at a microphone in the Senate chamber, and he'll lament the Democrats, which is always the Democrats, you know. We'll lament the Democrats and their spending habits, and they constantly want to spend the money, and they constantly want to grow the debt, and they want to fund this thing called Planned Parenthood, and it's so awful, you know. And then he leaves the mic, and for almost two decades, he leaves the mic, and then he goes and votes with the Democrats to grow the debt, grow the government, and increase spending and fund Planned Parenthood and things like that. So, it's almost like I made a joke the other day speaking to some Republican women in the Valley that he's like the political Sybil from the 70s. He's one guy when he's in Texas, and he's a totally different guy when he's in D.C. And it's that there's no really the problem with him is he has no founding principles. There's no foundation for him. He will compromise any position always, ever. And so the reason you never hear of John Cornyn publicly is because he's not a fighter. He doesn't really have anything to fight for. He's just a negotiator. And, well, what I call him is he's the grand compromiser. He compromises on everything. It really doesn't matter what it is. He's going to compromise. So, and I'm not a compromiser on core principles.
Now,
and that's what we're missing on the right side anyway.
So, Duane Stovall, candidate for the United States Senate in Texas. One of the, if you remember back in the old station in the old country in the old days, one of the three amigos, Stovall, Rob Manus, and Greg, a doctor from North Carolina. Help me out here.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
In any event, we interviewed all three of them at the start of their candidacies. One of the things I always admired about you, Duane, not only you're an honest and straight shooter, but you don't mind getting your hands dirty and doing the actual work. Folks, can I tell you that my friend Duane Stovall, during his campaign for the Senate, visited, and now correct me if I'm wrong, every single county in Texas.
Well, you can say that because I've done that multiple times.
How's that possible? It was like 130 counties, isn't there?
No, it's 254 counties.
It's even worse.
It's different. It's a little different for a guy like me because I've worked all over the state of Texas for 20 years. So traveling Texas for most people is like it's like going around the globe or crossing the pond. But and it's huge. There's no doubt about it. But I've been all over the state for so long. It's like my yard. just a really big yard. Yeah.
Now let me ask you in your recent travels. Do you buy any of this blue state Texas nonsense?
Sure.
Oh, really? So it's not nonsense. It's happening.
We have an issue in Texas that you can't even get the legislators to talk about. They agree with it, and they know it's happening, but they won't address it because most of them are not. There's some really good people in the legislature, and there's some really bad ones. But there's you have to be somewhat developed politically on some philosophical basis to grasp some of these things and fight over them. In Texas, we amend our constitution by popular vote. So it's straight democracy when you amend our constitution. So we amend our constitution every couple of years with 8 or 10, 11 amendments, and they're constantly put out to the masses. We constantly have lobby groups that want the changes, funding the candidates, funding the incumbents who put them out there, and then they are out there spending their money on the advertising in the metropolitan areas to get these passed to their benefit. Well, here's the issue. We have upwards of 1,200 plus people a day moving into the state. Well, folks, that's not people from Mexico. That's people from the East and West Coast, Northeast. And they are, by and large, moving into about six counties of the 254.
Okay.
So we are on a precipice in Texas, on a cliff, where you're going to have five or six counties that are going to manage the government in Texas.
So you're going to become Pennsylvania then?
Well, you're going to have all these people in the rural counties that are sometimes 500 and 600 miles away from the metropolitan areas, and their lives are going to be controlled by those people that moved in from Detroit. And they understand it when you explain it to them, but they don't really understand how to change it. Actually, funny we're talking about this. You and I jotted down together, you and I talked about it on the phone one time, probably 10 years ago, changing the Constitution in the state to reflect, you remember that? Reflect the federal Constitution, and we would make the counties 2/3 approval instead of popular.
Now, I was just thinking I was just thinking about that because I do remember because I've asked the guy who's running for the House of Representatives in Louisiana who would represent me. I said, I'm a three issue guy. And here's number one, have a constitutional convention and amend this 74 constitution that was a brainchild of the criminal crook, Edwin Edwards. And stop amending the Constitution. You got to figure out another way to do it. I suggest you do it by 2/3. Was it 2/3 or 3/4 of the county?
It's 3/4.
Yeah. If that legislature will then look. You guys will start proposing 40 amendments per session because you know that there's no way 3/4 of the parishes in Louisiana are going to ever amend it unless it's something really big. And that's you're right. You and I did talk about this, but it didn't go anywhere.
I actually, it's funny that we're talking about this. I actually have carried that proposed legislation to the last three sessions in Texas and shown it to probably 60-70% of the House, probably 20% of the Senate. No one disagrees with it. Not one person. I can talk to a Democrat from the Valley in Texas and say, do you think your constituents want their property rights controlled by the people in Houston? And they'll say, well, no. And you go, well, look, this is what's got to happen. That makes perfect sense. That really needs to happen. I've had two things occur. One is, it's just too large of an issue. I don't think I can handle it. That's the one thing. The other thing is, you sit down with somebody's, you know, our favorite people, the Legislative Council. And the Legislative Council will sit down and say, well, Mr. Stovall, that makes perfect sense, but the Supreme Court never allowed that. And you go, what's the Supreme Court? And I said, I'm assuming you're talking about the federal. Yes. Oh, what do they have to do with it?
Yeah. What do they have to do with it?
Well, it's been tried before. And I said, types of cases like this have. I have done a little bit of research on that. And I said, types of cases like this have. But actually, the Supreme Court in those cases was ruling to make those states more Republican, not less. In the state of Texas, we are becoming less and less Republican every single day. And we're centralizing power in Texas in these handful of counties, which is the polar opposite of Republicanism. And I said, so you better find your argument, because this is the issue. Basically, all you pro-lifers in Texas and all you people that are out there fighting the good fight, and you've got your championing your cause in the legislature, and it's a conservative, bona fide cause, and you're going out there fighting the good fight. Well, guess what? You can go do that all you want. When you lose the simple majority on amending the Constitution in Texas, all that goes away. We're gonna look like New York City with full term abortions. They're gonna put it in the Constitution that it is a right to murder children up to abortion. They'll do that. These people have no, and I'm not saying all of them, because we do have people who move here who share that Texas state of mind, and they're more than welcome to get in the fight. But these people who are loyal to their, you know, Michigan backdrop, and they're bringing that little piece of progressivism here, and maybe they're, you know, whatever their founding is, or their foundation is on life or whatever. I'm using abortion as just a general rule.
There's it's a good one.
Get into.
It's a good one because it matters.
For me, it's the primary driver of our divisiveness across the union. I think that's one of the key factors to separating people and raising animosity across the union. So, yeah, it needs to be dealt with. But these people in Texas, we're going to continue that 1,200, 1,300 people a day. They're going to continue to lose ground. We used to be four counties were predominantly what we would call progressive-led or Democrat-led, or voted for Hillary, have the highest levels of debt, have the highest level of taxation, have the most expansive governments, and they're generally run by progressive administrations. Those counties were really easy to pick out. And they're the largest, and they have the highest influx of people moving in from outside the state who just enjoy the idea of being in Texas and want a pair of boots and a hat, and now I'm a Texan. And, yeah. Well, then you get people like me, and there's lots of me, by the way, whose family's been here almost two centuries, who look at this and go, no, this isn't what made Texas Texas, and we are struggling for our lives and our cultural history. And the culture aspect of it is probably as big as anything out there, and almost no one talks about that. The culture of Texas is being distorted and homogenized, and it's going by the wayside.
Dwayne, can I tell you that yesterday, just to that, and by the way, Dwayne Stovall, that's S-T-O-V-A-L-L, candidate for United States Senate in Texas, Texans, T-E-X-A-N-S, TexansForStovall.com, if you want to support and find out more. Barrett, you need to get you a Stovall. One of our hosts here, Dwayne, lives in Fort Worth. Barrett, you need to get you a Stovall for Senate yard sign. Robert Hoover lives in Austin. You need to get you a Stovall for Senate yard sign. I'll put the pressure on as many as I can. One of the things that I hear you saying about this culture, so yesterday I'm watching, I usually watch it without the sound, I'm watching Fox and Friends. And they have a feature story they're talking about, is Texas going to turn blue? And they had some big hoopty two festival in Texas somewhere this weekend. Pelosi went there and a bunch of people went there. Well, they bring on as a guest from your state the Commissioner of Agriculture. Now, I don't know if you know this old boy, but I look in and I go, I look up and there's a.
Yeah, Sid Miller.
Yeah. There's
a friend of mine.
He's a big, good old boy up there. He's got his white starched Texas, long sleeve Oxford on. He's got his black vest. He's got his white press Stetson hat on, and he's got his bolo tie. And I'm going like, that guy's a Texan. I didn't even have to ask. I just went, that dude's a Texan.
Oh, a guy could sling a rope too. Hell of a horseman. Yeah.
But you're right. Now, is the culture in Texas of Texans not carpetbagging Yankees and carpetbagging pinko commie Russian wannabes from California? The culture in Texas, like the culture in Louisiana, the election of Ma Richards notwithstanding, and her demon spawned child being the head of Planned Parenthood, Celine, throw those two out. Pretty much pro-life, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much across the board. The silent majority in Texas is the Hispanic or Tejano vote, who are, I tell people all the time, having traveled Texas as extensively as I have over the years, what gets me the worst, what really, really hurts my heart, is to see how closely aligned ideologically all of us are in this state. Whether I'm in the Panhandle with a black Texan, or whether I'm in Beaumont with a take your pick Texan, or you can be an Anglo, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. As long as you don't bring in the party to the conversation, we sound exactly the same.
Isn't that shocking?
And I'm talking about cultural.
Right.
Connections,
right.
Family, life, work, pull up your bootstraps, help out your community, all these kind of core values that kind of make Texas that independent, rugged kind of a position. Well, when you start bringing in the political colors, it changes everybody's position, because we are so heavily entrenched in generational voting in Texas. So you get grandma voted this way, dad voted this way, I vote this way, I'd never vote the other way because this is what we do. And that's kind of on both sides of the fence for the last 20 years. But
you know what, Dwayne, I just want to jump in here because I want to give you a chance to talk about something that's a big, huge issue. And that's this. By the way, Mike Churchill here on the Crusade Channel at crusadechannel.com, always on air and always online. Immigration. You're the only person. Now, you and I are in total lockstep on this. And I actually witnessed you get into a little kind of argument with someone over this, and you held your line, and you were correct. Because you and I agree. If you don't go after the employers and say, no, it's your responsibility to not hire an illegal, there is no way to treat this problem. Do you still hold that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we are... I'd love to say there's a way to deal with illegal immigration and it'd be just be a singular border kind of issue, but you can't do that. There's too many tentacles to too many different things, everything from taxpayer-funded programs to employers who are enticing people to come over. I got into a situation with a guy who was just beside himself that I didn't see the seriousness of the border. And I said, fella, not only have I worked at the border, and been to the border many, many times and have many friends who are border security. I know this thing both personally and professionally. And he said, if you did, you would be, adamant about, doing more about, the visa situation and this, that, and the other, and you'd be all for E-Verify. And I said, you don't seem to get it. I am for T-Verify. I would like to see Texas create an e-verification system with a buffer in the state of Texas between the federal and the employers and the employees. I don't agree with a national ID. I don't agree with national registries. So The only cross up I have is that in Texas, if we wanted to have a centralized call location that employers could call and say, look, somebody just submitted, they gave us this number for their ID, good or bad, you could get that flag here in Texas, and you wouldn't have to involve the federal at all.
There you go.
And if you put a buffer between us and the federal government. If you were to do that, I told him, if you were to do that, the overstayed visa issue, that goes away too, because they get caught up in the whole thing, because the overstayed visa would be listed as well. So the whole idea is you secure the border, but securing the border in Texas is an interesting conversation anyway. I was in Dallas speaking to some Republican women, been a few years ago. And before we started the presentation I was doing for them, one of them, they got to kind of round tabling, and one of them said, we need to shut the border down. And everybody applauded. And I thought, wow, okay. So I raised my hand, and one of the women said, so you disagree? And I hadn't even said anything yet. And I said, whoa, I said, pump the brakes. I don't necessarily disagree. I just need clarification. And I looked at the lady that said that, and I said, when you say shut the border down, what do you mean? Do you mean close it to all legal traffic and commerce, or do you mean just secure it to allow legal travel and commerce? And she goes, oh, yeah, that. And I said, well, let me explain something to you as a multi-generational Texan. When you say things like shut the border down without a clarification, half of Texas looks at you like you're crazy. So we have large numbers of people who go into Mexico to work every day, and large numbers of people who come into Texas to work every day legally through the ports of access. I said, we have the largest inland trade route, international trade location in the world.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can't approach this from a shutter down idea, because the vast majority of the states never going to go along with that. And I said, I'm just letting you know this because Republicans in my lifetime, and I'm 54 years old, in my lifetime, Republicans have had the worst messaging on border security ever. And they wonder why they can't get the Latino, Hispanic, Tejano, you know, we Texians to jump on board with them and go full Republican. Well, they don't trust you.
Well, Dwayne, you look at a city like El Paso, and you know that there's traffic every day. And there's a massive amount of people that are going, they're going one way, they're going the other way. You know, there are border checkpoints that actually work. I mean, some of those drive-through border checkpoints actually work. I know people that go on hunting trips every year and just drive to San Antonio and then head south and the deep part of a mountainous area in Mexico to go deer hunting.
The scary part of this whole conversation is that you will hear people discussing border patrol, border security, handling of illegal aliens, what we're spending on them, and they're all correct to do so. But there's one thing, there's one extremely simple factoid that no one discusses anymore. We've all accepted it as being just this is the way it is. No one ever says, well, you know, they could just say, sorry, you got to go back over there. Sorry, turn around. You can't come over here. But they can't. They literally can't. They are hamstrung. Their hands are tied. And I've been at the border with the guys on the big 30-cal boat, our high-dollar, multi-million-dollar DPS boat. Mm-hmm. We got a couple of them, I think. Standing on the dock while they refuel, talking to the officers. And they tell me, hey, you see that white Humvee across the river in Mexico at the city park there at McAllen? They go, yeah. Well, that guy's a member of the Gulf Cartel. Oh, really? So he's out here flaunting himself. They go, oh, yeah, it's even worse. He comes out here on this high-dollar jet ski, and periodically he'll come over here and drop somebody off on our side and make a few extra dollars on the weekends while he's doing that. And while I'm talking to the man, the little Gulf Cartel member comes by, tells them they're number one, right? Goes by, comes back around about 2 minutes later with about a 25-year-old woman, fully dressed, street clothes, in a skirt, hiked up to her thighs. She's sitting on the back of it. She's got about a 3-year-old kid with her. He gasses on it, runs up into some 18-inch deep water on the Texas side. She jumps off, walks right up the bank, right across the parking lot, and stands in a Border Patrol truck. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, what the hell is that? he said, there you go. Border Patrol walks out of the park area, over to the truck, opens the door for her, gets in, and drives off to go get her processed. And I looked at that officer and I said, you are telling me that we Texans spend over $12 billion a year of our money in this state, and the reason we can't stop spending that money is because you can't simply tell them, oh, no, you got to go back over there. And he laughed. He goes, well, you know, you want to simplify it. Yeah, that's kind of it. I said, that's insanity. And you know, the whole context of we've got our friends and family members spread out all over the empire, around the globe, protecting borders of countries that have no interest in us or don't affect our daily lives, yet we can't secure our own border. That's insanity.
Now, let me ask you, Dwayne Stovall is a candidate for U.S. Senate. We can, we've got plenty of time twixt now and the election, but just let's just hit a couple of issues quick. Are you making any headway against incorporation when it comes to the Second Amendment? Are they starting to get it now when you go talk to people, or do you still have to do the 20-minute illustration on the whiteboard like you're Glenn Beck?
Well, no, you have to... You have to kind of generalize and get people to back around to it. You don't bring up incorporation at all because 99% of the population doesn't even know what it is. But you can tell them that in your heart of hearts, tell me, what direction does politics go? Which direction does this government go? Does it go more conservative or does it go more progressive with time? And they'll all tell you, well, they go more progressive. Okay. So when it comes to your ability to defend yourself, your ability to pray, your ability to express your religious values, your ability to protect life as you want it protected, do you want those authorities here in Texas, or do you want those authorities brought to you from people who are generally not Texan, 1,000 miles to your east that you're never going to know and can't influence? Well, the answer is always the same. And by the way, that's a bipartisan question, and they all answer the same. So I don't have to go hit it head on. I can literally back them into the simple question, which my campaign is run on one question. That question is, outside of those limited authorities that are loaned to the federal, and I stopped using delegated, by the way.
Loaned. I like loaned.
Yeah,
we loaned them to you. We're taking them back.
Well, delegated has been, over the course of generations of education, students generally see delegated as given. And instead of having the whole discussion, you just say loan. And if anybody wants to ask the question, then we can get into it. But I'll tell them, outside of those limited authorities that were loaned to the federal by the states, who gets to manage Texas? Is it going to be we Texans among ourselves, or is it going to be a few non-Texans 1,200 miles from us that we don't know and can't influence? And everybody answers the same way. And then it immediately falls into, well, how can you change that? Well, it's real simple. You got to stop electing wannabe judges.
There you go.
You got to start electing people that understand the authorities of the office and the limits. The idea that you are relegated, every aspect of your daily life is relegated to the whims of 9 unelected, well-connected lawyers in robes who you don't know and have no connection to whatsoever, is evil. It's just evil. And the idea that you would condone that, I mean, really, back yourself up from this issue. Do you want these people that are on high, who have supplanted God as your leader, that they're going to rule over your life? Do you like that? I mean, do you enjoy that? Well, no. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, folks, who do you think the Supreme Court answers to?
Nobody.
Well, that's the key question. I can tell you that without a doubt, I've talked to people for, I don't know, man, I've probably talked to 40, 50,000 people now. 99%. I've done this so long now, I would bank on empirical data what I'm talking about. 99% will answer that with nobody. Well, they don't answer to anybody. Au contraire, my fellow Texian. They do answer to somebody, and guess what? They have a very, very limited list of what they can get involved in. And as a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, just read your Article 3 and your little pocket constitution you carry around with you and list them. List them. There's just a handful. And people get a little bit shocked by that.
Now, you know that, and I know that, and Kevin Gutzman knows that, but you mentioned paltry education a moment ago. Most of your Boobus Americanus, Boobus Louisianus Americanus, and Boobus Texanus Americanus, they don't know that. And they don't know that the Article 3, that Article 3 says that basically, you know, Congress can ordain and establish courts. What does that mean? There doesn't have to be a Ninth Circuit. If it's acting up, the Senate could abolish it tomorrow morning. You know, President Trump has kneecapped the Ninth Circuit. I don't know how he's done it, but maybe there must have been some appointments on it. But Congress can actually tell them, and you know they did this. They actually did this back, now you and I would disagree with why they did it, but they did this. In 2002 or 2001, they passed a resolution that basically said that the Supreme Court could not hear any case that was arising under the...
Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, well, arising under the part of the Articles of the Patriot Act. That the Congress reserved the right, that they had the full power to make laws, the Supreme Court couldn't hear any of those cases. Well, we know that the SCOTUS defied it because they took the case with Bin Laden's limousine driver or whatever, right?
No, I was about to tell you, the funny part of that was such a great moment for just a very short
moment. It was!
That involved everything from, remember when they were wanting to bring the Guantanamo Bay detainees, war-captured military whatever's over into the public courtrooms.
Right, right.
They wanted to bring them here. And I thought, look at that. The Congress wrote a resolution, legislated, said you don't have the right to appear these, all that same stuff you're talking about. And people say, well, okay, great, what happened? Well, the Supreme Court took it up and said they couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah, as I said, so here's the difference. They read it, but they didn't read enough of it. So when the Supreme Court took it up, you got all these wannabe judges and attorneys in the Congress all going, man, I really hope they rule in our favor. Oh, boy, I hope this goes our way. And when they ruled against them, not a single one of them sent a red-eye flight ticket to one of the judges to get them on the carpet and go, what do you think you're doing? And if you don't have a good excuse for why you did that, you're facing impeachment.
And you also know, and I know you know this because no one's as good a constitutional scholar as Dwayne. You know that after, well, you do pretty good for a lay person. After Lincoln was assassinated and Johnson was the president, one of the things that he was that the Congress considered doing was, and FDR threatened to do this, was what they call packing the court. So what Congress basically said is, if any of the current, like when Justice Taney died, Justice Taney, or he quit, he retired or whatever, we're not going to replace him. We're going to drop the number of SCOTUS members down to 7 and to 6 and then to 5. Because all the Constitution says is that it has to be a tribunal. So you need two justices and a chief justice. So Congress has extraordinary power over the judiciary. They just don't use it. They don't want to use it.
Does the Constitution literally say it has to be a tribunal?
Kevin Gutzman told me that it was a tribunal.
I thought it only said that there would be a Supreme Court. I always thought they could have one judge if they wanted.
Well, judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and such inferior courts of Congress.
I find it interesting that if the
Kevin told me that once, Dwayne. He I can't remember how he arrived at tribunal, but
well, we can blame Kevin. We can blame him. We usually do.
You're guilty, Gutzman.
Well, I find it interesting that. That it says there's going to be a Supreme Court, and then it has a fixed list of types of cases they can get involved in, and they should be really bored. I mean, they should not have a whole lot going on. And people are amazed when they find out that there's a fixed list. And you say, well, no, folks, here it is. This is it. And they're even more amazed when you explain to them the 11th Amendment and why it exists and how that was a backhand to the Supreme Court. It's That's not taught in schools. We're all taught that they're the final arbiter of everything all the time, everywhere. And if you go to law school, they really brand that on you. So,
well, if you watch any news talk TV and you watch constitutional lawyers, you will very quickly, if you know anything about federalism and little r republicanism, you will very quickly come to realize that, number one, it's dead. Number two, these people are idiots, because all they see is the sophistry of a constitution. They don't actually see the workings of it. All right, Dwayne.
You know what the constitution is today?
It's the
little Irish guy in the hallway on the wall of the Notre Dame football team when they go onto the field. You know the one they jump and slap on the way in?
Yeah.
A little traditional, reach up there, give him a little homage, slap him on the hand, you know, slap the Irish guy and go on the field and do whatever.
That's it. That's what it is. All right. Folks, Dwayne is running for the United States Senate. You can find him, Dwayne Stovall, that's STOVALL.com. And, of course, Texans, that's TEXANS, Texans 4, F-O-R, Stovall.com.
Or Texas for Stovall on Facebook, or Dwayne Stovall on Twitter, or Texas for Stovall on Instagram. Hey, whatever.
Yeah, Dwayne's he's an old hand at this, and well worthy of your support. All right, brother, let's keep the conversation going.
Let's do it.
We'll talk again soon. God bless you, brother. And say hi to the wife and the cheerings for me if you see
we'll
the
do,
kids
man.
Anymore.
Right.
Yours are gone. Yours are gone. Mine are gone. They all gone.
That's right.
That's what they do. All right, brother. Talk soon.